ACC Media Day is going on right now. SEC Media Days have come and gone. Big Ten Media Days have come and gone. We are rocking and rolling on our way to college football. And here to talk about it on Chris Thomas Tonight, Turtle, with you till 10 o'clock, is one of our favorites, Ian Valentino from A to Z Sports. Make sure you check out his work there, covering all things college football and the NFL draft. Ian, do you think we'll go back to SEC Media Days here to recap a couple of things that I wanted to chat with you about. Do you think that the SEC is going to move to a 9-game conference schedule sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think if I was going to guess, I think so. There's going to be incentive to do it. I do think that the ideas of the other conference is trying to get them on the same page, trying to promote more big matchups, which just means eventually, more money. It evens things out a little bit when you're looking at trying to protect certain rivalries and maybe bring back old rivalries. Like, the fans certainly aren't the driving force, unfortunately, but I do think this is a situation where both sides can win, where the fans get what they want and maybe see some more premier matchups. And then, alternatively, these conferences are going to make a little bit more money too. So that's always what drives it. And I do think that there's enough there to say that that should be enough of an incentive to make it happen.
And then off of that, you have Kurt Cignetti spouting off today that they're going to go to an SEC-type schedule because they want to make sure, they pad their own stats. maybe they should win something first before they open their mouth like that. Or do you think do you think he had a point?
Yeah, I think he does, right? Because that's the one knock on the SEC that everyone can say, is that they are guilty of, come November, a lot of teams are playing these FCS teams, or there's 4, 5, 6 touchdown favorites. And so it is what it is. I mean, the SEC, they beat up on each other. And so that's a little bit self-fulfilling too. And that's not necessarily their fault. But, we know the SEC is really good. I think sometimes it's okay to take a shot. It's funny. And I think there's a little bit of truth behind it too. So to me, it's all in good fun. And I'm sure he'd like some of the perks of being in the SEC too. It's not like, I don't think that was just a blind shot where he's thinking that the Big Ten is infallible either.
I see Mario Cristobal making the rounds now. How much pressure is on him coming off of a season where you had the number one pick in the draft and now you get a highly touted transfer in Carson Beck? Do they have the horses behind them this season to really compete, do you think?
I think they do. They've got a lot of talent outside of Beck, and I really don't know what to expect from Beck this season. I think he'll probably be at least average, but coming off of a major injury, and then he's had an interesting off season, and a little bit older guy, didn't have an amazing season last year. They're a defensive first team, though. They're a team that has to win in the trenches. They've recruited really well there. Like, that's Mario Cristobal. I will say, like, for all of the in-game stuff that'll drive you nuts, he's pretty good at building up teams in the where it really matters, in the meat and potatoes of things. And so they're a good team. I don't know that they're going to be, more dangerous than last year. They might be more well-rounded than last year, but I don't know that they have the upside that Cam Ward brought them and their playmaking. They had a lot of Elijah Arroyo breaking out. How do you replace someone like that? I don't really know. It's not like they added a true superstar receiver. So good team. They should get 10 wins if Carson Beck is good. But if they fell short in the traditional Miami way, I don't know that I'd be shocked either.
What are your expectations after, everything that happened this offseason aside, what is your expectation for North Carolina on the field?
You'd expect them to be disciplined. You'd expect them to be, I think they'll probably be more progressive than what most people would think. I do think that Belichick gets away from being more predictable than not. I think there is maybe a thought that they'll be just conservative and just run the ball and under center and all these things, but they have the talent to be more dynamic than that. I think he's done a good job throughout his career of building up staffs that really do maximize his players and their play styles instead of just trying to force whatever he wants to happen. So I think defensively they'll be pretty solid. They have good talent. They don't have the talent to win, the ACC. So they're going to, when they fall short, it'll be interesting to see like how patient he is with what he wants to do and how he reacts to maybe some negativity or maybe, the eventual cold spell that might come at some point. But I think it'll be a good team. I think they might punch a little bit above their weight class. which is pretty hard to do, especially in year one of the ACC. Like, you know, it's a good conference this year. So I think they'll be good. I think 8-9 wins should be fair to expect. I don't know that they have much upside beyond that unless the staff really goes above and beyond.
When it comes to the rest of the conference, as you said, you think it might be a deep one, but Clemson head and shoulders the top of the cream there?
I think so. Yeah, this looks like a great year for Clemson, and that team reminds me of when they were in their peak with their Deshaun Watson years, the Trevor Lawrence years. It took them a little bit of time because they were so young last year, but three of their four losses last year were to some of the best teams, most athletic teams in the country, South Carolina, Texas, and Georgia. The game they lost against Louisville was kind of weird, but that happens sometimes. I think maturity is going to be a big thing for them. I think they're in the top couple of teams of the returning starters. I want to say they have like 16 returning starters. Cade Klubnik's a big part of that, right? Like, they might have the top quarterback in the nation. Obviously, they have some really good playmaking. Their defensive line is elite again. So they're back into that spot where they should be a very high floor team, and those guys should really be able to take the next jump too throughout this season. So I think they are. They're going to hopefully be peaking at the right time, and be interesting to see Dabo kind of get back into this maybe second wind of his career after he had a couple of seasons that people weren't exactly thrilled about.
Before the season gets started here, who do you have as the best team in the Big Ten in your preseason?
I think it's Penn State. I don't want to put too much faith into like Drew Aller and a team that is led by James Franklin. I think both of those guys have their own demons that they've got to overcome. But the talent is certainly there. Adding Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator makes a lot of sense. Talk about returning production. I think they had 14 guys coming back. A lot of those guys were draft eligible and would have gone pretty high in the draft. A lot of those guys would have been top 100 picks. So it's really the Ohio State recipe, and then you went out and you added the Ohio State defensive coordinator. And so I think that's pretty good recipe for being strong. And then Ohio State, you know, they're, I think, obviously the number two, and then they're replacing about 70% of their starting lineup and then two coordinators. So they'll be great, but you do expect some hiccups alongside that too. So I just think Penn State has that veteran leadership. And I will say, you know, Franklin, he's got to get out of his own way. That's going to be the biggest thing. Can he get over the hump when it really matters?
Talking all things college football with our buddy Ian Valentino, A to Z Sports. Make sure you check him out there. Brian Kelly certainly had some interesting comments back at SEC Media Day, talking about how this game is played for the athletes and not for the NIL and all this other stuff. But he also said one thing that I thought actually did make sense, Ian, and that was that he put it on the coaches. He said it's up to us to make sure that we, as the leaders of these programs, get the NIL and the transfer portal to a place where it's more manageable. Do you agree that the coaches should put a bigger hand into getting these things solved, or is it not their place to do so with the student athletes being their own sort of individual entities at this point?
I thought it was a pretty self-aware statement by Kelly, which is not always something you'd expect from him. I don't know that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, he makes that statement. I think he's right. I mean, these head coaches are oftentimes the highest paid individual within the state, especially for these state universities, and, you know, Notre Dame isn't, but these state schools especially, there needs to be a level of transparency. There needs to be a level of awareness and responsibility that these guys have, especially over student athletes who really don't know much, and they may not be represented by the best people in the programs. You know, programs themselves have their own goals too. So, you know, I like it. It, you know, there's always gonna be a little bit of a conflict of interest there. You know, what can we get? How can we maximize what we have to work with? But I think he's right. Like, I think these guys need to be responsible, and if they delegate that, that's fine. But you're then responsible for how you delegate your processes. So credit to him. I mean, I'm all for the guy making $10+ million a year having the responsibility at his feet.
Some off-the-field notes that are interesting. Jimbo Fisher is announced as joining ACC Network. Are you surprised he doesn't have a job?
I think he'd have one if he wanted one. Like, I know Texas A&M flamed out, but he's a good coach. I mean, it just the number there with the buyout is what gets people, and deservedly so. I think if he wanted to take a solid job, maybe even, you know, you mentioned Kirsten Maddie, it's like Indiana, if he wanted like an Indiana-level job, yeah, I think he'd walk into one of those jobs pretty easily. But for him, why? it is a step down. I don't know that at this point in his career there's much to prove. Obviously, the money speaks for itself. Is he really going to be able to walk back into an NIL-driven kind of landscape where things have changed even since he was fired and be able to hit the ground running pretty quickly without, you know, souring the fan base? Because I think there is that stigma whenever you're fired and you make $80 million in a buyout. That's an intense stigma, I think, to overcome. So I do think he's good enough to coach it. I think he'd have interest, but I think for his own sake, it's probably better that he just maybe walks into the analyst role.
All right, before I let you go, one other off-field note. The ACC announced they're going to report availability for conference games. What did you make of that announcement?
Overall, you know, I'm for it, right? I want to see how things change. I like seeing the opportunity to see things play out a little bit. I'm always going to be in favor of trying something, and then you can walk it back or flip the decision if it doesn't work out. So, yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I don't know that I expected it to go that way, but I guess we'll see, and we'll see how quickly, if they need to pull the lever to kind of pivot the other way. I'm interested to see if they're willing to.
What would be the downside of doing it? I think it's something in college, I mean, it's been long overdue. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes these things don't come out until literally the last second.
I don't know. I mean, from a content standpoint, I know that we're super excited for it because
exactly.
Fans deserve to know. And obviously it's good for us to create content about it. And so I don't really know. I don't know why there hasn't been more of almost a requirement. I just think from a health standpoint too, like I just think there should be more transparency on that for everyone involved. And so maybe we're not owed that information. I don't know. Maybe if you wanted to look at it from that standpoint, like it's a privacy issue. But I think I'm reaching just to even get there from a program standpoint. Sure. I get being selfish about it. But in the interest of the game, that shouldn't be the case. There's always that shroud of gamesmanship, but it's like, I mean, I think these guys inside the buildings know. It's not a surprise when star athlete X is limited in a game. Like, we might be surprised at that from the outside, but these guys have, you know, connections all over the place. It's not surprising when they're working inside the building. So the only ones left in the dark are the fans and some of the media, but oftentimes it's like the announcement crew, they know. So it's just kind of funny, like, why there's that shroud.
Ian, appreciate the time as always. We'll check you out at A to Z Sports. We'll chat soon.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right. That is Ian Valentino there chopping up college ball from A to Z Sports. I'm excited to play this audio when we get back. I emailed Oren. I was like, yo, we need these two clips. I don't know why he did this. I don't know if I would have done it. But J.C. Treader, yes, the dude who just stepped down as the NFLPA executive, went on Dan Patrick today and did an interview. Yeah, we're going to play some of that for you next. Don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas tonight.